Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is Wednesday, April 6, 2022. I'm Doug Hagman, your host. I want to thank you so much for your belief and your trust in me and this platform. Thank you for making it one of the more popular podcasts worldwide, actually. 8.95 million downloads of this podcast and growing. That was for the last year, not for the last day. Okay, so just to clarify things, but hey, that's respectable, right? So it's good. It's all good. Tomorrow, I want to make mention of this. Tomorrow night, you got to tune in. Part three. With science guy from with Steve Quayle. You heard parts one and two. Well, the third part is going to blow your mind because we're going to be getting into the meat of really what's taking place, and especially including and especially the famine that is coming. And you know, you look at the various news headlines in the legacy media. And I'm telling you what, there will be starvations worldwide. It's incredible how things are playing out today. I want to play this first clip. In fact, Eric the Tech, how are you today, Eric the Tech? Are you doing well? You're having breakfast over there, lunch, dinner, whatever you might call it. I don't know when you get up during the day, so. But you doing okay?
Doing good.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, he's in the office. He's in the office today doing a lot of, actually, he's not only the tech, but he's the electrician. He's the plumber. He's the construction guy. He's doing so. He's MacGyver of the Hagman Report. I appreciate him. But I want to show you this. In this segment, I've got a number of things I want to address. I want to address the all-out assaults on the United States and the West, but specifically the United States. The fact that we. The United States of America, or non-United States, we are being taken down by way of a managed decline in a number of different ways. And I'm going to hit each one as quickly and as succinctly as possible. But take a look at this video from an event where Obama, that's right, Obama came out of the shadows. Did you see this, folks? Because it's embarrassing. For Biden and company, Obama came out of the shadows, and Biden and Harris and Obama, Big Mike's wife or husband or whatever, was working the crowd at the White House. Did you see this? Well, let's watch this and cringe as you watch. Keep your eyes on. You can keep your eyes on Barry. Barry Satoro, the non-eligible, constitutionally non-eligible president, but also keep your eyes, especially on Joe Biden, and try not to look away. I know it's tough. Just try not to look away in embarrassment, but let's play this. Go ahead. There's Obama, Barry Satoro, working the room. Knee pad Harris right to his right. Now watch by. This is sad. Oh, man. See, oh, there you go. All right, there you go. Working the crowd. Wait a second. No. The second link I sent to you. That was the abbreviated version. You got to see the latest link I sent to you. The 24-second link. No, it couldn't have been. Really? Hang on a minute. Okay, go ahead and play the link I sent. The other part of that, the extension of that, is actually video A in the show prep notes. Video A. So it, when that's ready, go ahead and play that. What you saw there, obviously, was Biden and or Obama working the crowd. Harris just hanging off Big Mike's wife, husband, whatever, and really kind of giving the cold shoulder to Biden. Biden looking like a lost pup out there. This next video clip is follows that. Okay, so you saw the Barry working the crowd, right? We'll watch this as Biden kind of, I don't know, somebody let go of his leash and he looks like a lost puppy. Watch this. But you can see that. Okay. Now tell me, who is in charge of this country? Remember when Obama said, you know, his perfect arrangement for like a third term would be to be in his basement giving orders or, you know, talking through a somebody else wearing an earpiece and following his direction? Well, apparently. You know, there is no love lost between Obama and Biden. There's no, certainly no respect, but can you imagine that? And here's the thing. Maybe this is an age thing with me. I don't know. You know, the demographics that I get from the listenership of this show. Apparently I must be getting old because I do appeal to, the demographics show a bias toward the, older, demographic. Well, by older, I mean 40 and above, which is not, I guess, not that old, but nonetheless. Okay, so, but can you imagine this 40 years ago? Can you imagine seeing that 40 years ago with any other president, commander-in-chief?
I can't.
You're not 40 yet, are you?
Nope.
Okay. But I mean, you get the idea, right? Eric the Tech is speaking out. I mean, would you be embarrassed by that? And I'm asking that seriously. If you would see that replayed, I don't know, like a highlight reel, you know, you're kicking back at home and at your house in Delaware and you're eating your pudding or oatmeal or ice cream or whatever, and you're watching that. Would that embarrass you if you were Biden?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I thought too.
Wouldn't it all embarrass me?
the whole flipping thing. That's right. All right. So the question remains, who is in charge? Most assuredly, Joe Biden is not. And I would even say Obama is not. He's just the front guy. He's the middleman taking orders. Much like Hunter Biden's the bagman for Joe Biden. You've got Obama is the middleman, the middle manager for the globalist agenda, giving orders and being the face of power in D.C. All right, so that's that. But there are more important issues facing us right now. I was on Wisconsin Christian News last night. I forgot to mention that too yesterday. Wisconsin Christian News Television. Folks, I'll put the link in the program description box today. I pulled a Steve Quayle yesterday. I don't know what happened. Again, too much coffee yesterday. I just was talking and throwing out numbers and facts and figures and things about what was taking place. But it was a good slot. And I would encourage everyone to really, and I mean this sincerely, to really support Wisconsin Christian News through donations, because the printing costs are going through the roof. They're faced with a really agonizing decision. You know, I know people like to go to digital stuff, but I like the hard copy, paper, hard copy newspapers. And but you know, when you've got cost increases of 100-200%, it's just it's hard to take. And their annual costs are like $39. I don't even remember what it was, but it, I mean it's so minimal that it. You know, they need help, and I really please help them. Okay. We are under assault. Now, I want to kind of spend a little bit of time on this. You hear about Title 42 being lifted. The Title 42 has to do with the emergency health orders because of the coronavirus and the southern border, okay? This is extremely important here because this is another assault on this country. And this is the managed decline, the managed takedown of the United States through this illegal invasion of adversaries. These are not good people coming across the border. These are people that are engaged in human trafficking, and I can verify that. These are people who are engaged in drug running. These are people who are engaged in activities designed to take down the United States from within. Jack Posobiec, a good friend of mine, good friend of the program, did a piece about this. And I'm going to show the reference paper, or the paper that he references, the report. It's 115 pages by the DHS. I read through it, and it's frightening. I mean, it is frightening. But I want you to take a listen to and watch Jack Posobiec talk about what will happen this spring and summer once Title 42 restrictions are lifted at the southern border. Go ahead and watch this.
The fact that you have so many Ukrainians seeking refuge in this country of Poland. We understand that because we have in our southern border thousands of people a day, literally, not figuratively, trying to get into the United States.
So this is a massive story. New documents that have been leaked from the Department of Homeland Security to Breitbart reveal Biden's mass migration plan offering broad-scale release mechanisms. Randy Clark wrote it up. The Department of Homeland Security is disseminating a mass migration plan devoid of any removal mechanism to replace the soon-to-end CDC Title 42 emergency health order. We've talked about the end of Title 42. The new plan predicts the DHS traditional processing capabilities will be overwhelmed immediately, as we know, and require an increase in the use of, quote, broad-scale release mechanisms. The plan reviewed by Breitbart Texas acknowledges the end of Title 42 will likely result in a surge in illegal migration. Isn't that nice? Our own government knows what their own policies are going to do. The increase is already manifesting itself as apprehensions rise. In March, Border Patrol agents apprehended more than 200,000 migrants. 200,000 per month coming into this country, and that's with Title 42 in place. So what happens when Title 42 takes off? The draft plan recently circulated to senior DHS staff is dated February 17, 2022. A source within the agency not authorized to speak to the media says the plan offers no concrete options other than to exhaust more resources to absorb what will likely be a historic wave of migrants at the southern border. What is it called? The Southwest Border Mass Irregular Migration Contingency Plan. This is completely insane. Your own government, ladies and gentlemen, knows exactly what's going to happen. They're telling you what's going to happen. Keep in mind, this was written in February, so the work was probably done in January, a month before the 200,000 came up in March. They know exactly what they're doing. Now, I'm familiar with Hanlon's razor, right? Hanlon's razor is, do not attribute to malice that which you can attribute to incompetence. That's Hanlon's razor. That being said, when DHS is producing documents that tell you, they say, sir, there's going to be a massive surge of migrants if you take off Title 42, this public health order, the current thing, it was signed by President Trump all the way back in the early stages of the pandemic, early stages of 2020, and there's going to be a mass irregular migration coming forward if you take this thing off. Sir, that's what's going to happen, just so you know. They're doing it anyway. They're taking it off the books. So when I see things like that and we get documents like this, you really have to ask yourself, are we seeing the managed decline of the United States, like they used to say? Or are we now seeing a complete free fall? Look at this in terms of economic policy, energy policy, our currency, our foreign policy, from Afghanistan to Ukraine, from Kabul to Kyiv. Our country's foreign policy is in complete shambles. Our border is about to be completely open wide. The floodgates are about to open. DHS knows it's going to happen. Your money is about to be worthless. Our economy is about to tank. And Jen Psaki's going to the Peacock Network. Of course she's going to the Peacock Network. Everybody is about to start running from the sinking ship that is the Biden administration.
All right. That was Jack Posobiec. And, you know, he and his wife, he's got a beautiful family. Having spent time with Jack and getting to know him, he knows of that of what he speaks. And he spoke of Hanlon's razor, of course, which is an adage or rule of thumb that, never attribute to malice what you can explain with incompetence. But as he said, this is beyond incompetence. And what he said before about the managed decline versus the free fall rate, well, I think it's a managed free fall, managed decline at a free fall rate, kind of like the towers on 9/11, okay? Very well managed, and they know exactly what they're doing. This is what they're doing to the United States of America. And that's where we're at right now with this invasion of the southern border. And I've got to tell you, when I look at the numbers, 200,000 incoming a month that they catch, the ones that they don't catch. And I've got to also say this, there's out of the 1,965 miles of southern border, there are 240 miles of that border that are totally and completely unprotected. Now, they will say, okay, we have Border Patrol, we have this, we have that, we have this technology, but that's surveillance, not intervention. Understand the difference. When I conduct a surveillance, it is watch, wait, see, do not intervene. Intervention, of course, means you do something to stop whatever is happening. That's not what's taking place at the southern border. So when you've got all the things that we've talked about, the potential for famine here in the United States, not just third world countries, when you've got the potential, and I say likelihood, if not certainty, of violence this summer over food, over other things, it's coming, and it's coming very quickly. But for the signatory, but for Biden to be the signatory, signing off of the Title 42 restrictions. Are you kidding me? All right. This is not incompetence. Of course, Mr. Marbles is really not. All he is like an automatic pen to other people's, to the globalist desires, I suppose. Why don't you take a look at this document? This is a document that Jack referenced, and I read this document. All right, this was uploaded by Breitbart Texas, but the title of this document: DHS Southwest Border Mass Irregular Migration Contingency Plan. This was published, as Jack said, in February of this year, February 17th. And if you scroll down a little bit, let's see here. Just in fact, more than a little bit, you're going to see some maps as you scroll down. And I want to show you a couple of things from this document. And again, I read things before I present them, all right? This kind of, the first map gives you an overview. If you scroll down even more, and it might bump you back up there, you can see the areas of concern, the areas of penetration in this country. They know this. They know where the problems are going to be, and you can keep scrolling through this because there are some illustrations there. Then, and you can go ahead and keep scrolling. But the origins of the invaders, and when I say invaders, we're talking about people coming not from just Central America, but from 150 countries. Right now, in that 240-mile segment of border that's unprotected, the cartels, the drug cartels, the trafficking cartels control that segment. The Border Patrol has been issued orders, if you read this, to basically to stand down. It's a stand down order issued by Mayorkas, that putz, who has no business heading up any kind of security or intelligence agency for the United States, is saying, hey, let them through unimpeded. There's nothing we can do about it. And there you have it, folks. I would urge everyone to read this 115 pages. You don't have to read the whole thing. You can read the highlights. Again, it was uploaded by Breitbart Texas, but nonetheless, I'm going to put it in the program description box, the link to this document. And in fact, I might even link it to the R-Scribd account and put it up as an article. But this is an amazing document that says, hey, you know what? We're about to be invaded, not with 200,000 a month, but try two times that amount once those restrictions are lifted. Now do the math. So, okay, the assault here on the United States is this mass unfettered invasion. It's not a migration. It's a displacement of the current population. But why would they want to do that? They want to change the demographics of the United States, obviously. If you are white, if you are Christian, and if you are conservative, you are in the crosshairs. I don't care if you're man, woman, child, white dog. I don't care. You are in the crosshairs of the globalists because the United States really is ground zero for launching this new world order. All right. Another assault. And this deals with the culture of the United States. You know, it amazes me. And maybe it's because I'm getting old. Notice I didn't say old. As I look back in over time, I think back and I'm thinking, okay, you know, I remember the 70s, the cultural revolution of the late 60s, early 70s. What role did that have to play in what we're seeing today? Well, a whole lot, because the CIA was very active. Government NGOs as well were very active in changing the culture, attacking the culture of the United States. We are seeing today the results of what was going on in the 60s and 70s, even back into the 50s, I'll say. When they ripped women out of the home, out of the nuclear family, and began destroying the biblical family as we know it, throwing them in the workplace. World War II did a fantastic job of doing that. You had guys, men, American men fighting overseas, bankers' wars, fighting ostensibly for the United States, for freedom, for democracy. Yes, that's true to some extent, but the Hegelian dialectic, you know, controlling both sides. But what was the cause of that? That ripped the mom, the wife from the home, put them into factories. As you moved on into the 60s, you saw this cultural revolution, this, women burning bras and this women's movement and all that. And then in the 70s, there was this big push toward attacking our children and future generations with perversity, with the homosexual agenda, militant homosexuals. How many people remember, now that Florida is in the news for this non-existent Don't Say Gay bill, which it's ill-defined by the legacy media, how many people remember back on October 14th, I believe it was, 1977, and during that time too, but Anita Bryant, remember her? Remember her ads for Florida orange juice? Eric the Tech, you weren't around then. Does Anita Bryant, does that name even ring a bell to you?
No, sir.
Okay. You know, she was a singer. She was a celebrity. And Anita Bryant, and many people will know who I'm talking about. But think back to Florida, circa 1977. The ads for Florida orange juice. Do you know how many people boycotted Florida orange juice because Anita Bryant came out and said, homosexuality, it's a sin. It's against God. It's against nature. Oh, the world was in an uproar back in the 70s. I want to show you this clip from October 14th, 1977. Watch carefully and compare and contrast what you see there and hear there versus today. Has anything changed? Maybe more militant. Maybe not, given the time period. But I think you might find this interesting. It's only 2 minutes. Watch this.
Anita Bryant was a singer, and for quite a few Americans, she was a symbol of the beginning of pushing back against the social experiments of the decade.
I love homosexuals, if you can believe that. I love them enough to tell them the truth, because I know that there is hope for the homosexuals, that if they're willing to turn from sin the same as any individual, that they can be ex-homosexuals, the same as there can be an ex-murderer, an ex-thief, or ex-anybody.
I feel very strongly that what we're faced with today is something that is being camouflaged under Christian faith, Christian love, that is one of the most vicious hate campaigns this country has ever seen.
Anita Bryant's efforts definitely mobilized the gay community. Sometimes having a visible opponent is a great unifying force.
Tonight, the laws of God and the cultural values of man have been vindicated.
They win the campaign, but it has a national resonance.
This is what heterosexuals do, fellas.
And for many gays, Anita Bryant is a symbol of this intractable prejudice.
We were going to go on a crusade across the nation and try to do away with the homosexuals, and we're met with protest and all kinds of problems. And
Security agent.
No, let him stay.
No.
Let him stay.
Well, at least it's a fruit pie.
Let's pray. Anita, why don't you pray?
Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity of coming to Des Moines, and that we're praying for him to be delivered from his deviant lifestyle, Father. And I just...
Nothing has done more to advance the cause of gay acceptance and gay rights than people like Anita Bryant.
Thus always to bigots.
She campaigned for a vicious anti-gay law in California that helped make Harvey Milk a national figure.
As political parades go, it was a little unusual. Harvey Milk on his way to City Hall to be sworn in as a supervisor in San Francisco.
The Harvey Milk hope speech, that was a moment when a lot of people in the gay community went, something has shifted in our collective subconscious and what we feel we're entitled to.
I will fight to represent my constituents. I will fight to represent the city and county of San Francisco. I will fight to give those people who had once walked away hope so that those people will walk back in. Thank you very much.
All right. That might bring back some memories. Now, some of the names and faces there, Harvey Milk, but specifically Robert Kunst and others, you know, they became the useful idiots, the tools to assail people like, verbally assail people like Anita Bryant and those people who supported her. And, you know, back then in the 70s, given the counterculture environment there, and I remember, I lived through the 70s, okay? That took a lot of courage and a lot of guts. Are we seeing that same level of courage today? No, for a couple of reasons. Number one, whether it originates from the pulpits, we're not seeing anything like that. How about others? Very few others are standing up and saying, look, this is wrong, and especially pushing the homosexual agenda onto our children, the transgender movement onto our children. All of this is wrong. This is child abuse. And this is really at the heart of the Djibouti Brown Jackson, whatever her name is, Supreme Court nominee. What are you laughing at? Djibouti. I can't remember her first name. Whatever it is. Okay. But
Djibouti.
Yeah. Djibouti. But here's the thing. You look at her record and you look at her record against pedophiles or ruling, sentencing pedophiles, and you see this soft approach toward repeat offenders. And she's been called upon this many, many times. And people like Joy Reid say, oh, that's a lie. No, it's not a lie. Okay. I'm consulting on a case right now. And I just want to say this without giving any details. I'm consulting on a case right now that there's a person, a subject of interest. Okay. Every single statement out of this person's mouth has been a lie. Every single, an approvable one. Every single statement. Now you might say, what does that have to do with anything? Because you look at the media, and that this is the when I say media, I'm talking about the network media. And yeah, I'm going to throw Fox in there with a few exceptions. Everything that they say is a lie. And you cannot believe, if you watch network news, you are the least informed human being on the planet. And may God help you when the fit hits the shan. Because I don't think anyone else will.
Djibouti.
Oh, my goodness. But okay, so there's that. But, you know, there's another component to this, another more nefarious component. Tying this up with the southern border. You know, we had, I'd land in here from SaveThem.org, and you know that I've been working with the with Russ's crew, and we've been reconstituting our efforts. Craig Sawyer, too, just a fabulous guy, rescuing children. Landon, his organization, rescued children and put away the pedophiles. And I do think that trip to the jail was a little bit rough. But, hey, so be it. But having said all of that, the attack is, they're coming for your children, okay? But watch this, or take a look at this. National Pulse, and you've heard about this before. By the way, there is a danger of overstating a case. In other words, I know that we were involved in some litigation where somebody called, there was an individual that called Craig Sawyer, myself, Russ Dizdar and Steve Quayle, you know, satanic pedophiles, okay? There are satanic pedophiles out there. Of course, we're not. No, I'm not one. But forget about that. About us, that is. When you use the phrase without any restraint, it becomes meaningless. Kind of like calling everyone a Nazi, right? So the reason I mention this, okay, is because there are pedophiles out there. There are satanic pedophiles out there, and they're different from the human sex traffickers and human traffickers. There's distinctions to be made. But my point is this. You have this culture rot so imbibed and infused into the American culture because of, go back to Anita Bryant, you know, her efforts to combat the militant homosexual agenda. Everything you saw in that CNN excerpt with respect to the commentary was an out-and-out lie. She was not out. It was her intent to bring back the nuclear family and to assist people from living their life of debauchery, okay? And that was her intent, if you remember back in the 70s. But today, anyone who speaks out now against this trans agenda is vilified or otherwise censored. And you might say, well, this is the least of our problems. No, this is a huge problem because they're targeting our children. If you go on libs of TikTok on Twitter and look at the various videos, 90% of these purple-haired, blue-haired, ring-through-the-nose, okay, modified earlobes.
Djiboutis,
that's right, with tattoos all over their faces, wearing, you know, the rainbow pride flag or some other despicable symbol of debauchery. They're coming after, they admit they're coming after the kids. Oh, we teach kids this about this kind of sex, but we don't want them to tell their parents. Every one of those morons, teachers, that are shown on Libs of TikTok, that account, are doing this, and they're laughing at you. They're coming for our children. But National Pulse, this should concern everyone, and then I'll stop here. Dozens of Disney employees have been arrested for child sex crimes. Dozens. Well, I got news for you. Now, they did a great job. National Pulse did a great job on this. But there actually are hundreds. Okay, can I back that statement up? Absolutely. Look through the court records in the county court records as well over the years. And now, this is a current headline right now. But you've got this attraction to children's destinations by these pedophiles who engage in this behavior, and they celebrate this and they boast about this. They're coming for your children, just as they're coming for them to give them the mutagenic jab, you know, this COVID vaccine crap. They're coming for them culturally. They're taking away the education. They're taking away every aspect of their childhood, and including, turning them back really years in terms of their learning ability through the use of masks. Faces are important to understand the forming of words. Like, you know, say your words, use your words. So we've accomplished attacking, our children, or we've allowed that to happen. I shouldn't say accomplished it. We've allowed them to accomplish the attacks on our children. And when is enough going to be enough? So you got Djibouti Jackson or Brown or whatever headed for the Supreme Court. And you got a bunch of rhinos over there applauding her, applauding her, saying, she's good. Okay, no, and hell no. One last thing. You know you got a problem when it's worldwide, and you know none of this is organic. It wasn't organic in the 70s or 60s, and it's not organic today. You know you got a problem when you go to Australia, and just like here in America, can you define a woman? Well, no, I'm not a biologist. Well, I'm not a vet, but I know what a dog is. Okay, I mean, you know, how stupid, where is common sense anymore? But watch this clip from Australia. The clip, I just titled it Definition of a Woman. And tell me the level of not incompetence, but the level of, I'll say decided, and I mean this, decided assault against everything that is good and wholesome in terms of females, males, biblical marriage, biblical family, nuclear family, and what we have done or allowed to have done by removing that. Again, this is part of the takedown of this nation and the West. Watch this from Australia.
Can someone please provide me with a definition of what a woman is? Department of Health, definition of a man, definition of a woman.
This is
anyone.
He's questioning the Department of Health.
Basic stuff. Professor Murphy.
I think there are a variety of definitions, and I think
just a simple
perhaps to give a more fulsome answer, we should take that on notice.
You're going to take on notice the question of what a woman is.
No, well, there are a variety. It's a very contested space at the moment, Senator.
It's not just a woman who's born a woman.
But there are definitions in terms of how people identify themselves. So we're happy to provide our working definition.
That is one of the... I've only been here 2 years. That's the best thing I've seen thus far. Thank you so much.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
It's that simple. All right, remember my story about interrogation rooms and phone books? Give me a phone book. I'll tell you what. I would be off that dais and down there with a phone book. Seriously, you can't make this up. But again, this is not organic. This isn't just, something that just happened, that has happened recently. This new discovery. Oh, there's something different now. No, this has been an organized attack for a long time, and I hope I've laid that groundwork for you. Culturally, demographically, to change the fabric of our society, to take God out of everything, and to make America not a melting pot like it was intended, but to take it over through invasion. Coming after our kids, coming after you, coming after everything that is good in this society. And you know what? You're going to have to make a decision, just as I'm going to have to make a decision. When do we fight back? And what does that fighting back look like? Folks, I'm ready to fight back, and I'm ready to do it right now. And I know a lot of people who are saying the same thing. All right. After an extended absence, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. I know I cut into his time a little bit, but hopefully that gave him a little bit of rest. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. Provis, P-R-O-V like Victor, I-S, ProvisInstitute.com. And there, order any litany or any array of books, from Saving the Constitution to books on the economy to the Liberty series, which is actually addresses what I've been talking about. And you will be edumacated, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, edumacated about what's really taking place today. And you know what? It's really a good buy for the books. Go to ProvisInstitute.com and order the books, and you will thank me later. But with me now is Richard Proctor. Richard, I was respective of your privacy. I didn't want to say anything in terms of
say
your
whatever
absence.
You want, young Jen. Say whatever you want.
Well, no. I want you.
I've had a tough month.
Brother, I know you've had a tough time of it. If you want to explain your absence,
I would, because people have been emailing me asking what happened. People have been calling. So let me do that. But first, I want to relate to two of the items that you brought up. First,
right.
the Disneyland stuff about the dozens, okay? No, it's not dozens. It's more than that in the Disneyland business. In Florida, the governor signed a document that was against the endangerment of children. Now, that's not exactly right, but it's close. And who was against it? Disneyland. They're against protecting the children. That's what Disney represents now. That's terrible. But think of what that was supposed to be, Bambi, and that's supposed to be, you know, Sleeping Beauty, all those nice things, all that beautiful stuff for children. And now the very people that pushed it so hard for so many decades are saying, no, don't protect the children. Use them however you want. And that's where Disney is. Now, moving to this item from Australia just now, there was a lot of hemming and hawing there. And so a young child, what, did he look about 8? 6, 7, 4? I don't know how.
Yeah, that was from a movie, but go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, here we have a young child that's of that age. I don't know how much, but you can see very young. Since when does a young boy that age even know about penises and vaginas? Where's that coming from? Have we noticed that thought? Not that he defined it, but that he even knew the words to know different. I remember a joke that went around a long time ago. Young man and a young girl were out there on the beach, and they were both naked, okay? And they were young. And the boy looks at the girl, and the girl looks at the boy, and he says, oh, now I know the difference between a Protestant and a Catholic. There you have it. That's how it should be at that age. Not those words.
Well,
we are being conned.
Yeah, I didn't know those words until I was, what, 25, 26? I mean,
Good for you. I'm glad you learned them then, at least. But the point is that there are differences between boys and girls that are very, very obvious. And then there's lots of them that are not obvious. But folks, there are differences and they are not the same and they will never be the same. I don't care how many people fight for it. I don't know how many people pass laws. It will not change. It's like the laws of gravity. Oh, I don't think I want that today. So it's gone. Oh, yeah, right. The law of economics, supply and demand. Oh, well, I don't think we'll use that today. That's all farce. Those laws stay whether you like it or not, whether the government likes it or not, whether the people like it or not. And feminine and masculine is different, and it won't change, period. And there you have it. There's no more to say about it. Now, back to the situation that I'm faced with. I can tell you the exact moment this occurred to me. March 4th, 1:30 in the afternoon, Mountain Standard Time. I slipped on the steps with stuff in my hand, going downstairs. I didn't roll down the steps like you see in the TVs. No, 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 no. I wound up at the bottom of the steps with my head and left shoulder. See my leaning to the right? You see this? I can lean to this way. Okay, I can't lean the other way even still yet, a month later. Bottom line is I hit my head and my shoulder and my arm on my left side, that's this side over here, and bashed it so hard I couldn't move my left arm for several hours. I finally got the door open so I could slither down under the floor. I was there for an hour and a half or 2 hours, just barely able to move my right arm a little bit, just barely. Finally, we got around to calling the 911 guys, and they came with backboards, 20 or 30 guys, cocoons, all kinds of stuff, and wrapped me up in things you can't believe, and took me up the steps, around the corners, out to put me on a backboard, took me on an ambulance to the local hospital. And their diagnosis, after having seen a CT scan of my neck all the way down to under my middle of my chest and lower back, and x-rays on my left shoulder, okay, significant, was no breakage, nothing wrong except muscles. And that's already a miracle.
You're luckier than Bob Saget.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but nice. That's a, some people will catch that. But okay, so, wow.
I traveled in the air for 5 feet before my head hit the corner in the floor.
I'm telling you what, having fallen in June myself.
I was going to say, you guys have even more in common now.
Yeah. Yes. So I fell on my face, okay, which didn't do it any justice, believe me. But I broke my things in my jaw. And so you didn't break anything, but okay.
Lucky. The physical therapist that came to my home regularly for the next several weeks said, "You're lucky you're not a quadriplegic or in a coffin, which would be better than being a quadriplegic." That was what he said.
Wow.
So that's why I haven't been here for a little while. And as you can see, I'm really not ready to be here yet. I'm still bending over. I'm still leaning over. Talked to my primary care doctor earlier this week, and he says, "Well, figure 4 to 5 months before your nerves begin to be right again." I went to see a new doctor yesterday I'd not seen before, a different kind entirely. He calls himself a chiropractor, but he is not. He showed me exactly what happened. He pushed a nerve near the nerve. Oh, back up a little. First, he tested my strength in both arms, in my fingers like this, tested that, tested strength in both arms, tested strength in the legs. I had none, absolutely none. He moved it up however he wanted, no matter how hard I tried to stop it. Then he pushed a couple of buttons here in my neck, did a couple of things, banged my head a little bit, and then did the same thing. And it was a world of difference. I could then hold my fingers together and he couldn't pull them apart easily. I was able to keep my arms where I wanted them to be rather than where he was trying to push them. My legs the same. That was 5 minutes of treatment. And I had improvement, and I can see the improvement still today in what I could do today. I actually, for the first time in over a month, was able to lift a comb and at least move my hair in some semblance of order. My wife's been doing it, if I did it at all. I actually took a shaver to my skin and did that by myself. First time in 4 months, in 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Now, that's from yesterday's treatment. I'm going back to see him some more.
Wow.
The TV's upstairs, not in the office anymore. Can't go up and downstairs easily, but I'm getting to. I can. So soon I'll be back downstairs even. Things are looking
good. You guys are going to need these.
Need can't what?
No, I got one better on you, Eric. I'm putting in an elevator. I don't believe in these little chairs. I'm putting in an elevator.
There you go. Now that's the way to do it. And I'm serious. That's the way to do it. I've actually, I've got three floors in my home. I'm ready for an elevator.
Let me ask you a question just about elevators. Now I've done this before, elevators. Okay. Think for a moment. Now that thing that she put in there that she was riding up and down, it works. That's fine. How much does it cost to put on a shingled roof, or do a fence around your home, or do some landscaping? $10,000, $15,000, $20,000.
It's a heck of a lot of money.
An elevator only costs like
$35,000. What? $100,000 or $1,000?
$35,000.
Okay.
$35,000. Just double those other items I just mentioned.
The $3,500 brand is the kind that you got to pull by rope.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. See, Doug just jumps on my back.
I'm saying they're not so far out of sight as people think they are. Because people do put new roofs on and spend $10,000, $12,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do landscaping and spend $20,000. Well, elevators are a real help. I've had them before. Oh, they are nice. So there you have it.
Well, you know what? Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. I think, you know, when we engage in battle, I'll pick you up and we'll get our hover rounds together. And we'll outfit our hover rounds with automatic or semi-automatic weapons and we'll be good to go.
Yes.
Oh, my
absolutely.
Goodness. Oh, absolutely. My goodness.
Anyway, I hope to be back to normal in a year and a half, so that'll be good. Maybe in 2 months, maybe three.
I'm telling you, I'm still waiting to get back to normal.
I know. But you had worse than I did, because I didn't have anything broken, or at least that's the report I've currently had.
Well, you know, and you're lucky. The investigator in me wants to know, where was your wife at this time?
Upstairs.
She have an alibi? Okay.
Oh, yeah. She, all right. She didn't push me down the stairs. You're okay. Right. Okay.
All right.
No, she could not get down the stairs. I was in the way. My feet were laying up the stairs. She could not get by them to open the door.
What? She couldn't walk over you?
Yeah. She didn't walk over me or step on my nose or anything.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that's nice of her. But
we eventually got the door open so I could slither down to the floor, and then I began to heal, I think. And now if you can tell, I'm toward the end of my being able to stay here with you guys, even now. If I put my head down like this, it's better.
Oh,
that's good. Now I can do this and I'm all right. But that's what it takes.
Well, if you want to do the rest of the show like that, you can.
Okay, well, that'll be good.
But just lean into the mic a little bit. But no, that, you know what, I think that we, and we, without making this sounding stupid, I think that we, you know, we're all engaged in a spiritual battle, and I think that there's a spiritual component to everything that happens here, and I really believe this because taking you out. Taking me out, taking Steve or whoever out, taking Russ, who has passed away, out, that there's a spiritual component to what we're going through. And but I'm glad to see you're better, because I was worried about you. And I really didn't want to share anything private outside of our conversation, so I'm glad you shared that with us.
Yeah, it was a terrible thing. But now let's get back to the okay. blessing, the help side of this.
All right.
How come I wasn't in a coffin? Why am I not quadriplegic? Here's a good statement point. I believe thoroughly. I was held up till I didn't hit as bad as I wanted, and my body stayed in such a way that it did not completely destroy me. And I believe that's a spiritual component, as you just mentioned.
I believe that as well. And I think, you know, I think God has work for all of us to do if you're still up, or if you're still listening to this or watching this, your job's not over. Our job's not over. Richard Proctor, your job isn't over.
No, it's not. But I'll tell you what, I'm getting close, because this has been a terrible time for me.
Oh.
And I appreciate all everybody had. I appreciate everything everybody said and did and whatnot.
Well,
but I'm not writing any new books, okay?
Well, you know what? With a couple of 2x4s as braces, you can still do that.
I could. Yes, I could. And it's not clear out of sight, folks. That's not clear out of sight. And I will continue to do these kinds of things as long as I can. We will continue to sell all the, get all the books out that people order. We got behind 2 weeks behind. Oh, did we get behind? But now we're back caught up again. So everything is as it should be. We're there to help. We're there to get it done. We're not shirking our task. Nonetheless, it's been really tough. But they're still there. The books are still there. The information's still there. And I come right back to the same thing that I said a year ago. There will be a time when you can't get them anymore.
Oh. I've been, let me share this with you. I've been hearing things that I can't confirm. So I'm really not saying this with any kind of factual basis, except that people have been talking about taking certain books, making them so you can't get them anymore, whether it's books about American history or the Constitution. Now, I don't have titles of the books or anything like that, just topics.
So, no, I tell you what, let's just take what you just said. Let's follow that up.
Okay.
We can look at the time of the Nazis. They burned every book they didn't like.
Yep.
The time of the communists, they burned every book they didn't like. They banned them and burned them. Folks, we are not far from either of those conditions.
You know, which should, and folks, I'm going to say this, okay? You know, I've gotten accusations. Well, all you do is hawk books and DVDs and stuff like that. You know, I promote things I believe in, okay? And I believe in Richard's books, whether it's about economics, which I found very good, especially looking at things today. And the Constitution, which is invaluable to understanding our Constitution. So, folks, do yourself a favor—not me, but do yourself a favor—and get his get Saving the Constitution first.
Absolutely, okay. I've got all kinds of copies that waiting, all kinds.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm going to say this about other products as well, including, for example, nutritional supplements. There will be a day when it will be illegal to buy them, whether it be over, you know, by mail, or you won't be able to get them. So books especially, and books now. So get them now, folks. Go to provisinstitute.com. That's provisinstitute.com to get that, to get all of the books. And by the way, I want to mention this to you. One thing, this is something you talked about, and it is just in the news. And I want to tell you, I want to thank you for writing your book on economics, because here is something that came out early this morning. The 30-year fixed mortgage rate just passed 5% for the first time since 2011. Okay? Now, when you take a look at this, the average home price right now today across the country, and this is so hard for me to believe because it varies geographically, but the house in LA is going to be a lot more than a house in Des Moines, Iowa. But the average home price right now is set at $511,000 versus $408,000 last year. The 30-year fixed mortgage rate is now at, let me make sure I got this right, 5.02% today. Again, this is the average. Well, the 30-year fixed mortgage rate is 5.02% today, as opposed to 3.32% a year ago. The average cost of a mortgage, therefore, goes from last year at this time, $1,129 to $2,138 a month, which represents about a 57.2% increase over costs from a year ago. This also has to do with the velocity of money in here in America. Okay, this has to do with a lot of things. But you had in your book, Bathroom Economics, talked about these rates and talked about these different things. What do you make of that? And where are we headed with that?
Oh, well, we're just started. We're just at the bottom of the beginning. I'm sorry, guys. We are. We're at the beginning. That's, and they're using this now. Now, 5%, that's been established by what? The market? Oh, no. It's established by a committee. Where's this committee meeting? Ah, this committee is meeting at the Pratt House in New York City. What's that? That's the Council on Foreign Relations. That's the people controlling our economy and our lives. Okay, that comes from the International Bank. No, that does that, yes. But World Economic Forum, it comes from that too. Now the Great Reset. Oh, this is going to be a boon because now, when you come get to that loan and do that, we can do the Great Reset and you won't have to pay that. Yes. All you have to do is deed your property to them and give it up. Oh. So now he just told you that you're 50% more money out of pocket just to do the same thing you could do 12 months ago. But here comes the Savior on Mount Zion, going to come by, and he's going to say, the Great Reset will save you. You won't have to pay that after all. It's all set up to con us into giving up our lives. It's all set. This is not one thing, and it's not coincidence. It's a planned event. That's why you want those. You see those books right down there in the bottom of the screen, those blue ones? That's why you want them. That's why you want saving the Constitution. That's why you don't want bathroom economics, so you can understand what's happening. Can you do anything about it? If you don't understand it, you cannot. Can you do anything about it one at a time? Well, one at a time does more than nothing. And the next step here is, if you don't know this stuff, you cannot help it because you don't know the problem and you don't know there is one. I identified these things that were going to happen like this, not detailed like we just did just now. I identified these things some time ago. Oh, yes, I did. See, now I have one of those mortgages of 3.25 right now. And I have another one at 2.5. Yeah, like that. I have another one at 2. I don't have to, I can keep those mortgages going as long as I want. I don't have to change them. Yeah. So folks, think about it. If you want to know what's happening so you can do something about what's happening, the books I help you have, and they're still here. We got them all. They're still here. The books I help you have will help you understand what's happening. Am I a salesman of books? No, I am not. I'm a salesman of ideas and education. And that's what you are too, Doug. You're a salesman of ideas, helping people know where to get the ideas and the education. If we don't have books, nobody's selling books, we will not have any education. It won't be very long before our language and everything about us will have changed completely, and we won't even recognize what it was 20 years ago. And there are areas that's already happened. You gotta have books. Oh, I can get them on the computer, they say. No, you cannot. The computer will be controlled. It will be controlled. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not true. The computer is controlled.
There you go.
You can only have what's on the computer that the computer people will let you have. Who controls that? Pratt House, New York City. That's who controls it. And I teach all about the Pratt House. I teach all about World Economic Forum. I teach all about the International Banking Establishment. I teach all about the Bilderbergers. I teach all about all of those things. And they are all the same group of people at different levels. Trilateral Commission, same thing. Okay, they're all the same. All these free trade deals, they're not free trade. They're destroy job deals. Come on, folks, be sensible. Free trade. If you open up free trade between Mexico and the United States, it will create jobs in the United States. What school did that guy go to? Let's look at it for a minute. Let's just look at it. What is the standard of living in Mexico? Is it the same as the United States? No, it is not. What is the standard of living in the United States? Is it the same as Mexico? No, it will not. Where is the higher of the two? United States. So now we're going to do this. We're going to open up free trade between the United States and Mexico, and there'll be no change. Hogwash. If anybody pay any attention to common sense, which of course is at short supply nowadays, if the cheaper is in Mexico, that's where everything's going to go. The cheaper. What does that mean? All the building, all the manufacture, it'll go there where it's cheaper to make. Then there's no cost to come back, no border truck. So it comes right back to here. And they want to sell it at today's prices. But there'll be nobody can buy it because nobody will have an income that can afford it. Bingo. All goes to Mexico. So I tell you what you're going to do. If we have free trade between us and Mexico, move to Mexico. That's the best chance you've got. And that's not the good chance, but that's what it means. Free trade means. Now, several years back, we're going to have free trade between 11 Oriental countries with the United States. 11 Oriental. Now, tell me this. Do the Orientals work for the same wages we work for in our country?
Nope.
Or will our jobs go then? They'll go to the Orient. They won't stay here. They'll go there. The companies will all move their manufacturing to China. Well, Japan, Taiwan. There's a lot of political stuff here too, but I'm just talking economics. Don't try to get the two mixed up. Economically, it'll all move there. And you, sitting here in the United States, won't be able to buy anything at a decent price based on your wage. Wow. It might come back cheaper, but you won't have any money to buy it with because, bingo, all the jobs went there. You don't make money if you don't have a job. Oh, I know, you can make beds in the local motel. You can flip burgers in the local burger house. You can do those things. But where are you going to go to build chips for a computer? You won't do it in the United States. They don't do it anymore. Where are you going to go to build a TV? You won't do it in the United States. They don't do it anymore. Why? Because the jobs all went somewhere else, and the manufacturing all went somewhere else, and the investment all went somewhere else, and the people who invest to make money all went somewhere else because it wasn't here, because we didn't have a market here anymore because we couldn't afford to buy the stuff. That's all that happened in the Great Depression, guys. We talk about all the ups and downs and this and that and the other. It was very simply just two things. The money supply was lowered. Let's just use the term lowered.
Okay.
The money supply was lowered. Money was destroyed. Because money was destroyed, there was less money to pay people. Since there's less money to pay people, there was less money to make products. Therefore, there's less products made because people can't buy them. And it circles downward. As soon as the money supply decreases, then the amount of money to buy things decreases. Then, let's do it this way. As soon as the money supply decreases, there's less money to buy stuff, so that decreases, which means there's fewer jobs because there's nobody buying anything, and that decreases. And the cycle just goes like this until it gets to equilibrium. The equilibrium of the money supply is depending on what? The Federal Reserve. So they control our lives. So if they decide we're going to have more money, not counting inflation, just have more money, they'll print more of the stuff, and then we'll be able to buy something because they'll print more money. Interest rate going up 5%, going up to 5%. What will that do to the sale of buildings in the United States? Two things. One, it'll lessen the sale of them because nobody can afford to buy them. Because no one can afford to buy them and people must sell, it will lower the price. You think your property tax will go down because the value of your home just went down? Nope, it won't. Anyway, so here we go. That's the circle. You raise the interest rate to 5%. That cuts off the number of sales there'll be, which cuts off the commission and all of that kind of stuff, which cuts off the moving, which cuts off everything, cuts off the ability of you to buy stuff. You move more into apartments. That's where they want you, in apartments. And they control you if you're in an apartment. They don't want you to have a piece of ground that you might grow some food on and get out of their control. Folks, we are being destroyed. Our country's being destroyed, and we're just sitting back watching it. We're just sitting back watching it. And you laugh and say, well, Doug just sells books. I sell knowledge. Doug sells knowledge. Without knowledge, you can do nothing at all. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I knew these things were going to happen. Not in the detail, but I knew they were going to happen. I was surprised that the interest rate stayed so low for so long. But it was a gimmick caused by the Federal Reserve. They just wanted it down there. Now they want it up. So up it goes. I bought a home at 16% once. 16%! Oh, yeah. You just said 5, Doug. 16% I did.
Yep.
Because I couldn't get it for any less.
Me too. Back in 1981.
Yeah. And I bought mine in about the same era. A little bit earlier, but the same era. You could not get it for any other price. You had to pay that or live in an apartment or a tent.
Yep.
folks, that's what they're doing to us. It's a cycle. It's coming back. It's going around again. Who's doing it to us? The Pratt House in New York City, because they control the Federal Reserve. And they are controlled, the Pratt House is controlled by Bill Gates and Soros and Rothschild and all those guys, Lazard. The list is long. You can read the list in my volume one, in the preface, first page. You can read the list of the names who are controlling us. You can learn the banks that are controlling us. They're the big banks in Europe. You know, Credit Suisse. I used to know them all, but my mind's going. A Royal Bank of Scotland, Bank of England, a Royal Swiss, Deutsche Bank, those banks. They're who are controlling our lives. They're in Europe, and they're controlling our lives. Oh, yes. Yep. Going on all the time. Folks, if you don't know these things, you won't know what's happening. And you can't fix anything you don't know about.
So, okay. I have a couple of questions. I had a list of questions I wanted to ask you when you came back. But concerning economics, okay, and some people might be surprised to hear this. I've said this before. In fact, last night on Wisconsin Christian News, I said it. It shouldn't surprise anyone that Klaus Schwab is a disciple of Henry Kissinger. And in fact, Klaus Schwab admitted that Henry Kissinger was his mentor. Okay, Henry Kissinger.
That puts in a place I can name. Go ahead.
No, as you were talking, it reminded me of the opening up of China, you know, and look where we're at now in terms of China and trade. And here we are too. I guess, but having said that, getting back to the housing market, are we at the top of the housing market right now and we're about ready to see prices come crashing down? Or are we, in your view, or are we never going to see that? What are we going to see? I guess that's the question.
Here's something I would forecast. Again, this is geographical. This is not nationwide. This is geographical.
Right.
Utah, it is not going to stop going up here in Utah. Construction here in Utah is under such a burden that you cannot get lumber to build with. You cannot get construction guys to build because there's so much being built because so many people are moving here. Okay? But California, I think their market's going to crash. New York, theirs is crashing. Why? Because people are moving from those expensive places and those riotous places and those out-of-control governments. Watch the government. What's it doing? Is the government of Washington or Oregon or California a place you want to move to? Well, if you don't want to move there, they don't want to stay either. And if they don't have any jobs, because the jobs move to Mexico or the jobs move to Utah or they move to Nebraska, that's where you're going to go. So all of a sudden, this huge market of California will be gone completely. Huge market in California, be gone completely. Nobody will have a job that can afford to buy anything. And they'll move into tents. Tents are becoming the sale of the day in California. And that's not camping tents, that's living tents. Move to Arabia, they live in tents, they enjoy it. Move there, they have tents. Lots of them, comfortable. Well, not comfortable, they have tents. Folks, I'm trying to say these things. These things are what's coming on us. Again, watch Dr. Zhivago. Why am I having to say that so many times and people still don't pay any attention? You want to know the future? Watch Dr. Zhivago. That's the future of this country. Watch it.
And I echo that sentiment. Believe me, watching it really, it gave me the shivers. But by the way, you were talking about Utah lumber, you know, the lumber, you can't get lumber. Eric the Tech went to the local Home Depot here to buy lumber. We needed some lumber to take care of something in the studio. And so I gave him $100 and he came back and he said, this is what I got. And here it is, $100 piece of lumber. I'm kidding, of course, but you get the idea. This is like wooden gold or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like that.
But anyway, go ahead.
Same thing you're talking about. I don't know how serious it will be around the country. I have to have, had to have flat 8x4 special pieces of wood to do floor and roof. Okay. I used to go to the store and buy that kind of lumber, plywood, that kind of stuff, for $4 and $5, $6 a sheet. Now it's 50. If it's even there.
Yeah.
50, guys, 50. When I get a load of lumber from my home that I'm building, it's not $4,500, it's $4,000 or $5,000 or more.
Man.
Folks, that's what's going on in our economy. Now, I can do that just barely because I have access to some inexpensive money. But I couldn't afford to buy the place if I tried to buy it today. Couldn't afford to be here. I would have to be living in some shack in the west part of the city. Not a shack, really. It would be nice, but it wouldn't be nice. Wouldn't be any capital letters in that. It would be bad. You can see the kitchen that I'm in here behind me. It's comfortable, very nice. I'm sitting in what we would call the dining room. Okay, it's very nice. We get along fine. Nice counters, nice everything. That's not what's offered in the places I was talking about that I would have had to buy today if I tried to get in the marketplace today with the same dollars I had then. That's not what I would see in the background.
No.
Well, that's where we're headed. And if we keep going the way we're headed, and Dr. Zhivago, now I have a home here for 4,000 square feet, which I'm expanding as soon as I can to 6. All right. Now, let me see. There will be 8 families living in my house. 8 families living in my house. That's what Dr. Zhivago says. And we'll all be living in comfort, right? Watch the movie. See the movie. It's not fiction. It's a future documentary to this country. Right. It's a future documentary to this country. Let's just talk about gas prices. I read this yesterday or today, Griffin's show. Need to know, Griffin. He said, his article that he quoted said, if we could just get the pipeline back up again that was closed here a year ago, if we could just get that going, gas would go back to $50 and $60 a barrel, and the price would go back to half of what it is today. Do you like it to be what it is today? Is that what you want? Well, that's really a long time ago. Well, it's not that far. She's filling the gas tank. When I was growing, it was half. When I was getting gas in the beginning, it was half that. I hope that's gallon, not liter. It was half that, that's and gallons. Nobody filled their own. Nobody filled. By the way, you want to watch? Yeah, now it's $4.50, and you fill your own here, and it's never been above 3.5, except for just a little tinkle. But the reason it's there, they're blaming it on a war in Russia and in Ukraine. Well, it could be that, but it's not that. It's the fact that we've closed the ability of our own country to get our own stuff. Now I've got a backyard here. That's not huge, but it's nice. And did you know that I have a cache of gold about 10 feet deep. It's a huge cache. I've got 2,000 kilos. But I'm not going to get it because you know, somebody said that I shouldn't. So I'm not going to. I'm going to leave it, all those 2,000 kilos of gold buried in the backyard, and I'm going to go down and buy $4.50 gasoline because I don't dare get this stuff out of my backyard. Did you understand what I just said, folks?
Yep.
We in the United States have a cache of gold bigger than I just said, and we will not tap it because of our damn government. And they all sit there in their Congress behind their fence. That's not there now, but it will be again. Behind their fence, telling us how to live while they're paid millions of dollars to keep us as poor as possible. And you guys elected them. Oh, you can say the machine did. Oh, why did you allow the machine? Has anybody known of any machines that have been taken out of service? Not one. I know not of one machine, not one county that's gotten rid of their machines. So what does that pretend for next November? The same damn thing that happened this last one. And if you don't do something about it, it will be the same forever. What are you going to do? Sit here and say, ooh, woe is me. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, Grandma. Help me, I don't know what to do. Damn it, get out and do something. I said this, I shouldn't say this again, but I said it once. I'm very quietly going to say it. And I'm going to say this so quietly that nobody will hear it. Nobody will know that I said it, and I'll deny it. We need to have some vigilantes on Monday night before the next election at about 2 in the morning with sledgehammers busting down buildings, busting in doors, and destroying all the machines. You have to do it then so they can't replace them. I didn't say that. No, sir, I'll deny it if anybody ever says it. And if anybody puts it out and says, he said that, I'll say, that's been CGI's was computer done. I didn't say that. But it's true. Because the government's not doing anything.
You know, this reminds me, 1946, the Battle of Athens. We have to have the same grit as those men on that day, on those 2 days.
Yes. They did it, didn't they?
They did. Okay. There was wanton cheating going on. Our military guys coming back from World War II back in 46 realized the extent of the cheating. They opened up the armory, got weapons, went to the courthouse, and made things right. And I'll tell you what, not a problem after that. And that's what we need to do. And I'm going to echo your sentiment. And you know what? This ain't CGI. I'm telling you right now. Okay. We need to fight. And I look, you know what? I'm not talking about, you know what? We need to take back this country that, and all we see with Washington, I don't care if it's Jim Jordan, who I like. I don't care if it's Matt Gates. I don't care. MTG, it doesn't matter. All we're seeing is a lot of blustery talk, but no action. And
yes,
you know what?
That's exactly right.
It's up to us. And if we, if we ain't going to do it, it ain't going to get done.
That's right. It ain't going to get done if we don't do it.
That's right.
And it was like 2% of the people, 3% at most in 1770s that decided they were going to do it. And they did. Do we have 2% that would do that now? 2%. Let's see, we have 330 million people. 1% of that is 303 million. That's about 7 million people, I think. Do we have 7 million people today that would stand up and do what those guys did in the colonial times?
I'm not even sure we got 70.
I think we would have 70, but I don't think we have 700. I don't think we have 7,000.
Yeah, okay. But you know,
We've all just given up, Doug.
Well, you know what? There's a level of comfort, isn't there? So you've got heat in your home. You've got a television to watch. You've got a computer to use. You've got a bathroom that's the modern. You've got a kitchen. You got food. You got all the comforts that you need. So who's going to bother going out and, storming D.C.?
And they know that if they do that, somebody from the government will come and get them. Yeah. Well, you got to know that. That's got to be what you give up. What are we going to do? Sit back and say, well, we don't want to give this up. So what are you going? The phrase is, what are we leaving for our children? You know,
that's it.
I hate that phrase because nobody cares. That should say something, but nobody cares. When George Washington said it, he meant it. When Hancock said it, he meant it. When Franklin said it, he meant it. Now, I just picked a few people. When Doug said it, he meant it. When I said it, I mean it.
Because we give a damn about our children and our grandchildren and their way of life. Because we experienced the good times, growing up in the good times. And I'll tell you what, to have that taken away from our children, our grandchildren, it's a sin. And for those pussies out there, and cuckolds, Shakespearean cuckolds, guys, soy boys, okay, get off your ass. Let's do something. It's time.
Let's do something. It is time. I mean, what would be a really fine miracle haven't we had million men marches to Washington, D.C. in the past? Haven't we had that kind of stuff happen?
Yeah.
On protest. Usually they're quiet, nice people protest. Very quietly, a million men march to Washington, D.C., storms the Capitol and closes it down and takes it over. Hey, guys, that would say something.
Yeah.
Put padlocks on the White House. Shut that government down. Don't just go there and say, please, please give us something we deserve. We've just got to have something.
But you know what? We need...
Don't worry, guys.
But we need to get the J6 prisoners... political prisoners out of the jail that they're in right now You know, no one's standing up for them. No one's talking about the people.
Nobody at all. It's gone. They've been left alone, hanging out there. And that sets the pattern. That's why government knows it can get away with the next step, because we're not doing anything about that obvious step.
Boy, you hit the nail on the head with that. We're not doing anything about the machines. We're not doing anything about the J6 prisoners. We're not doing anything about the corruption. We can talk all day long about Biden corruption, the access to, selling access to the White House. Who's doing a thing about it? Certainly not the AG, the Attorney General, certainly not any prosecutor. So now is the time for action if we are to save ourselves. And I don't want a battle coming to my front door or yours and having to fight there. I'd much rather fight on my own terms. Go ahead.
Yep. Here's a thought. Last night I was watching a movie. You guys watch movies, videos, thinking on your home. Very first thing that comes up says the FBI is going to crucify you if you dare copy this. Now, if that's not hypocrisy, I've never seen it. I should be able to copy every bit of that, because the FBI should not have time to even be concerned as they clean up the government. But they're not cleaning up the government. They're helping the government be corrupt. But they are going to come and clean up you and I. What's wrong with this picture? And we're allowing it? Come on, folks. I don't think we should steal movies. No, I don't think that. I think we should get back there and fix this thing that's going on. And until we do, it won't happen. Now, let's increase that. Let's increase that. Your state government isn't any better. Take care of it, you guys. It isn't any better. What did I just say? Our democracy is in full force. What? Democracy? Yes, in full force. Yep. Our republic is dead. We want our republic back. Let's do something about it. And I'm not going to pay attention to that phone. I can't reach it anyway.
Don't worry about it.
We have a problem.
That's the FBI calling you on line one.
That's right.
Yeah, so anyway, no worries.
Anyway, guys, the world is collapsing around us, and we're just watching as if we were in the stadium of a football game.
It's true, isn't it? And, Richard Proctor, we only have about 3 minutes left of the show, and I can't. First of all, I want to thank you, because I know you're in pain. I know that this is I thank you for appearing today, and I, from the bottom of my heart.
This would have been much better.
Yeah. And folks, please say a prayer for Richard, for his healing. That makes all the difference in the world. I know from my grandchild, my granddaughter, she is getting better slowly but surely. It's going to be a long road ahead. But for Richard too, you know, guys like us, we don't heal like we used to. But say a prayer for Richard. And by all means, folks, go to provisinstitute.com and purchase Saving the Constitution, Bathroom Economics. If you have homeschoolers, there's items for homeschoolers, and also the Liberty Series. But do it today before they're no longer accessible or available to you. Please do that.
You know what? I'm going to make a comment here.
Go ahead.
After you get up off your knees praying for my better healing, go to your computer and buy 10 books to help me in my better healing.
There you go. There you go.
Action, folks. It's action.
There you go. Oh, you know, the Constitution, if you can keep it, one of my favorite tools. I don't talk about that enough, but folks, read about it at provisinstitute.com. Richard, I really want you to take care of yourself, and I'm glad you came on and explained what happened, because I've got about 5,000 emails saying, what'd you do to him? So, but
it wasn't Doug's, hey, folks. It wasn't Doug's fault, guys. It was the stairway I was standing on my foot that slipped.
That's right. And no, his wife didn't push him. We did investigate that, and she's in the clear. you know what, Richard? I appreciate everything you do, and really, you're a man of integrity and character, and a man of action. And folks, again, certainly. Yeah, buy the books, because while you still can, because I don't know in the summertime if you will be able to, or if they'll be able to be delivered. So provisinstitute.com. Richard, thank you so very much for joining me today.
I'm sitting like this because it's alleviating the pain.
You know, it hurts me just to look at that because I know that feeling of the muscles. Oh, yeah. Gosh. I know.
I'm not claiming anything any different than anybody else. It just is.
I'll tell you what. Folks, pray for Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. He'll be back with us when he feels better, and that could be next week. Who knows? But I appreciate his sacrifice. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night. Good night.